living together unoffended. And more specifically today, I'm going to talk about how to live free from offense. How to live free from offense. And we know from the writings that Jesus spoke in Luke 17, verse 1, he says, "It is impossible that no offenses should come to you," meaning that you are going to have opportunity to be offended. We all will. We all do. But the question will be, what do you do with it? What do you do with it? And I'm convinced, not just because I've studied it or watched other people, I know this journey in my own life. And I believe that as we grow and mature, we come to the place where we're no longer allowing ourselves to be offended, and we're able to govern ourselves so that we don't offend others. I mean, how many of you saved, sanctified, loving God, spirit-filled, and every now and then you still want to just tell somebody something? You know what I'm saying. Something rises up. That's just to let you know you're not where you think you are. It just lets you know you're not where you think you are. And it's an opportunity to say, "God, I don't like what I'm feeling right now. I don't like what I'm thinking right now. And I certainly don't need it to come out of my mouth. So I need you to help me." I heard this person say a long time ago, "I need you to give me shut mouth grace." Well, there is no such thing as shut mouth grace. What there is, though, is dying to the flesh. What there is disciplining yourself so that where you want to go and maybe sometimes have the right to go, you choose not to go. So you do understand that the place that Jesus walked in daily was he put to the side his right. Do you understand that? Because hardly anybody was treating him right. And the scriptures say that he was tempted just as we were. That means that flesh that he was dealing with was no different than the flesh you deal with. And I believe that there were times when Jesus was feeling some kind of way. That's when he went off to pray. That's when he said, "Do you need something?" Okay. I thought that we okay back there, sound and everything? Okay. I could really use some water. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so the body of Christ is in need of growing up, maturing quickly. Yeah. You got to understand, no, I don't want to say it that way. We must recognize that God often uses us, works through us in spite of. It's not the best, but there's a whole lot that wouldn't get done if he wasn't looking at us through eyes of love and saying, "Yet while I'm dealing with that, we're going to still keep moving forward." And so, as I've been thinking about this and studying more around living together unoffended, how to live free from offense, I found myself recognizing that it's only when we submit ourselves to all of God's process and all of those whom he has placed in our lives that we are able to mature the quickest. someone called me on yesterday and situation said, I'm dealing with this and I just needed to call somebody. I just need to call somebody and get some wisdom. And he began to share a situation. And then I began to talk to him about how I felt like he should handle the situation. And he said, thank you. I knew that if I called you, you'd give me some truth that would help me to know how to navigate through this. That's staying connected to those you're connected with. And the scripture says that there is wisdom, there's safety in a multitude of counsel. So how do we live free from offenses? Well, again, in Psalms 119, verse 165, it says, great peace have they that love thy law, the word, and nothing shall offend them. In Acts 24, verse 16, Paul writes, and herein do I exercise myself, discipline myself, to always having a conscience that's void of offense toward God and towards men. You cannot love the word of God, feed on the word of God, and not be changed by the word of God. The word of God is the word of truth. And working with the spirit of truth, the word of God will help us see how we need to change, how we need to grow, how we need to mature. It all happens as we submit ourselves to God, his processes. So Paul writes to Ephesus in Ephesians. He's writing to the church of Ephesus, the people there, and he begins to talk to them about how they need to relate to one another. So I'm picking up from where I was at, where I ended last week. In Ephesians 4, 1 through 7, it says this, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you have been called. We can say they walk worthy of the purpose or the destiny with which you have been called. Then it says this, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity in the spirit in the bond of peace. I love how it says that there, being diligent to preserve the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace, meaning you've got to take some initiative and you have to really, really, really stick with it. Being diligent. Diligent to preserve the unity in the spirit in the bond of peace. It's I was thinking of a song earlier this morning, Hezekiah Walker, I Need You to Survive. How many of you remember that song? I need you, you need me. We're all a part of God's body. Agree with me, we're all a part of God's body. It is his will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Glory to God.
I need you. I need you. I need you. I'll pray for you. You pray for me. Body. Y'all know the words? So there's the line that says, stand with me, agree with me. But there's a line that says, I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I need you to survive. That's a song we need to sing a whole lot more. That needs to become a koinonia. that when we're all over there eating, let's just pause for a moment and say, I need you. While you're eating chicken, yeah. But it's missing. That's part of what's missing. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Then it goes on and says, there is one body, one Spirit, just also as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. What Paul was trying to do here is help the believers understand that everybody plays a part. Everybody has a part. And we are at our greatest strength and effectiveness when we are together. When he says endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, the reason why he's saying that is because he knows that it is the enemy's design and his desire to separate us, to separate the body of Christ. It's most unfortunate because in many ways he has succeeded. And so, how do we live free from offense? I want to say again, first, we've got to commit to keep walking with one another. Commit to protecting and preserving the relationship with one another. If you truly believe that God has connected you with other saints, other believers, then you want to preserve that. You want to guard that. Secondly, you want to commit to honoring the honoring of one another. You want to commit to the honoring of one another. Honoring one another, honoring the gifts and the callings that are in one another. When you have a desire to see the best in someone, guess what? You'll see the best.
That's right. That's it.
When you desire to see the good in someone, you'll see the good. And no matter what life has done, that's why every now and then it's good to, a lot of times when I'm relating to someone who's older and life has had its impact on their lives, and it may be someone that's struggling or down, I say, God, help me to see the child in them. Help me to see the child that you see. Because everyone is born with purpose and destiny. Everyone is born with purpose and destiny. So we must commit to keep walking with one another. And if we're committed, we're really talking about covenant. Say covenant. Those are part of Heirs Covenant Church. You know that we say that we are a Christian community walking in covenant relationship with God and one another. The challenge for many is not really understanding covenant, what it truly means to walk in covenant. God honors covenant down through the generations. That's what the word says. And if we would begin to do the same out of covenant, we work through our stuff. Marriages that last aren't because people stay so madly in love. It's called covenant. It's called covenant. That the two parties decide, we made a covenant. Because when the lovey-dovey feelings aren't there and life happens, you need to come back to the covenant. The reality, though, of the covenant is this: it is only as strong as the two people committing to it. And in order for a covenant to stay intact, both parties have to give themselves to the covenant. Businesses fail and fall apart because one partner broke the covenant. Marriages fail because the covenant is broken. It is a high commitment when you talk about covenant. And yet we are required to walk in covenant relationship with one another. It's unfortunate that the enemy has been able to work the way that he has that's caused people to get offended, hurt. And now they're still in the body of Christ. But here's the thing. There are certain things that will never be accomplished in your life or my life except that we're walking with those whom God has given us to walk with for the fulfillment of purpose and destiny. You don't get to pick and choose on your journey. We think we do. But when you're truly, truly, truly walking with the Lord and being led by Holy Spirit, every person in your life is significant because God put them there. When Jesus chose the 12, it says that he went off somewhere and prayed. He fasted and prayed and then came back and said, hey, you come with me. Yeah, you come with me. Come with me. Come with me. He wasn't just randomly picking people. Those were the instructions by the Father. And so there has to be this commitment. There has to be the commitment over life's challenges, the commitment that supersedes the challenges that just hit any relationship. We have to remind ourselves we are dealing with fragile people, imperfect people. I'm talking about all of us. Yet being perfected, yet being matured. And if we lose sight of that, you begin to put expectations on someone that they can never live up to. Commit to keep walking with one another. Commit to protecting and preserving the relationship, particularly when it gets hard. How do we do this? How do we do this? It's in Romans chapter 12. I want to read verse 1 through 21. And it says this, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual, your reasonable service of worship. And do not be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that ye may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think more highly of himself, than he ought to think. But to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each the measure of faith. Remember, I said to you when I talked about the road out of the maze, I said the road coming back is paved with love, mercy, grace, humility, forgiveness, repentance, surrender, trust, obedience. When Paul is writing here and he says, I say to everyone among you, do not think more highly of himself than he ought to think. Now, you need to think something about yourself. Just don't think more highly of yourself. One of the biggest things that we deal with right now are one of the I see as a hindrance for the church is how everybody has given themselves to titles. And so people are taking on these titles, but it's really not their gifting. It's really not their calling. And I struggle with that. There's times when I struggle with being called an apostle. I know what my function is. I know what I do, but I'm not stuck on the title. And for the most part, we've got a world that don't understand them anyway. So I think that it's only in the church when it's appropriate. Outside of that, it has no meaning for others outside of the kingdom. Not to think more highly of yourself than you ought, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each the measure of faith. We all have faith. And you will choose what you do with your faith. But you can't think more highly of yourself concerning your faith. It can get you in trouble. You can think that you can do some things that you really can't do or shouldn't be doing. Somebody needs to keep writing and keep saying out there, listen, the things that God will call you into that are great things, they will cost you. They will cost you. They will cost you greatly. As a matter of fact, set aside the things he calls you to do. Just say, following Christ will cost you.
That's the truth.
Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. This isn't a cakewalk. I know you see me doing miracles and you want to do them too, but it's going to cost you. So when Paul was saying, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, he says, just make sure you're operating where you're supposed to be operating. To each one of us is given the measure of faith, and you can, your faith does grow as you exercise faith. But there are levels. And then there's gifts of faith. There's a gift of faith as well. Paul goes on and he writes, he says, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each one of us is to exercise them accordingly. Simply meaning that the grace that's on your life is different than the grace that's on my life. Giftings may be similar. Come on, say, giftings may be similar, but it's the grace that causes us to operate at the level we are called to operate. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Each one should exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to proportion, if prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who gives, liberally, he who leads, with diligence, he who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Then he says this, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Be devoted, be committed to one another in brotherly love, in godly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. This is how we are to relate to one another. And as we do that, and we do it with intentionality, and we do it out of a mindset of covenant, we minimize offense. We minimize offense. We minimize being offended. Give preference to one another in honor. Give preference to one another. That means put you first. That means put you first. That's what Jesus did. Some of you remember earlier we sang, no greater love has a man than to lay down his life for a friend. That's what Jesus did on Calvary. He laid down his life for you and me. That's what Jesus did. Where we want to live is that the love of God compels us, compels me not to get offended. The love of God compels me. It constrains me from getting offended or offending someone else. The love of God compels me, constrains me. Paul goes and says in this same chapter, says, bless those who persecute you. I knew I wouldn't get any hallelujahs or amens on that one. Bless those who persecute you. Hallelujah. Bless and do not curse. Don't cuss them out. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not be haughty in mind, talking about humility, but associate with the lowly, meaning relate to everybody. Relate to everybody. We are called to relate to everybody. No matter where you see them, no matter what the condition is. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. I like this. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. That's a good one. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. That goes back to what I was saying earlier around, you know, when I walked through that situation of getting offended. I didn't have to get offended. I took that offense. What he said to me would offend anybody. I'm just disappointed in myself that I wasn't mature enough that when he said it, that I would look at him and say, that's your issue. Because if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Because you see, when we talk about living together unoffended and we talk about how do we live free of offense? You've got something to do with that. We all do. Never take your own revenge. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Man. And part of that is, don't you get in the way to God meeting out judgment because you want to take matters in your own hands or you don't think that it's being handled the way that it should be handled. So years ago, in the early times of our ministry, I had a situation come up where one brother did something inappropriate to another brother, and these were men of God serving in the ministry with me. And so I addressed the one brother who did what he did, but the other brother, in his mind, felt like I did not mete out correction to the manner or degree that he wanted me to. And I just remember saying to him, I dealt with that situation with him, out of the same grace that I deal with you. I said, but if you want me to change that, it's going to change how I deal with you. Does that make sense to you? It's like you and I in a situation. God, I just, you know, we just go all out wanting him to bring harsh correction to this person or this matter. And God is saying, okay, I can do that. But if I do that, the same grace that's being meted out here is the same grace that's being meted out to you. If I change that, then I'm going to change this. That's something to think about, isn't it? You see, we want God to deal with us one way and deal with our enemies another way. We want God to be gracious towards us. We don't necessarily want him to be gracious towards our enemies. And yet the Bible says that you and I are to love them. Is that the word? Yeah, it's the word. Look at it right here. Yeah. Never take on revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. That means when a situation happens, I ain't touching it. I'm staying free so I don't get offended, and I don't want to offend anybody. And God says, that's good. That's good, son. I'll handle it. I need you to stay focused on what I called you to do. Yes. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Listen, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Some of y'all need to get some food on the way home and take it and drop it off. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Doesn't say stay away from him. Doesn't say pray for him. Says feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now I'm talking about how to live free of offense. You see, this is another level of our relating to one another. Covenant is, I'm not going anywhere and you can't make me. That's covenant. When God established the covenant with Abraham, he said, I'm not going anywhere and you can't make me. Meaning there's nothing you can do that's going to cause me to sever this relationship. Jesus died on the cross for you and I, and it eternally settled our destination. It eternally settled our future. Any distance between you and God is only what you think that distance is, because God has never moved. Glory, glory, glory. I'm going to go just a few more minutes. Is this helping anybody? I know these are those kind of Selah messages, you know, where you get done, you just want to go home and lay down or something. It's like, I got to think about this. And this is good because we need to be thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Commit to keep walking with one another. Commit to protecting and preserving the relationship. Commit to protecting the covenant. We are connected and we're connected for life. Commit to the honoring of one another. The honoring of one another. The gifts and callings, they're different, y'all. They're not the same. They're not supposed to be the same. So let me finish out with this passage, 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 1. I'm going to read through a good segment of this, so I just need you to stay with me. And then I might have one more passage that I'll close with. 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. It says, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are variety of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. It's simply saying at the end of the day, it's all the Holy Spirit that's in operation through the body of Christ, but in different ways. It says this, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing or the discerning of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. This is an important passage because many in the body of Christ are operating or trying to operate out of places of gifting that is not their calling. It really is, the Holy Spirit has not given them that gift. And many aspire to these gifts or these offices because they see them as being celebrated in the church. It's not a good thing. So we go to a church and we tell them, I am elder so-and-so or apostle so-and-so, evangelist so-and-so, and then they say, well, God bless you, I'm glad you're here, but the title doesn't really matter here. Now, that's your moment to grow. See, when I was at Rhema Christian Center, by the time I got to Rhema, I was ordained an elder in the late 70s. By the time I got to Rhema in mid-1986, I had been in ministry for a while. I was traveling with Ayers Ministries at the time. I was going into prisons and correctional institutions. I was recording at the time. At the time we made the transition to Rhema, my first live recording, which was called Holy, was being played in a regular rotation on the radio in that area. So, you know, I'm feeling some kind of way about myself. Now, I know you don't have that issue, so don't worry about it. I've been delivered and set free, so I can talk about it. But if it's, you know, if it's resonating, then I'm going to let God deal with you on that. But so when I got there, you know, it's like, I'm ready. Put me in, coach. But see, here's Here's what you have to know. Titles are not transferable. What I was doing was valid as an evangelist, as a teacher, proven. But coming into a new place, next place, say next place, next level, there are times when God will require of you, now I need you to lay it all down and I need you to humble yourself. So I found myself kind of trying to navigate through the fact that when I was over there, I really was recognized as for my accomplishments. I come here, over there I'm Elder Stevenson. Over here, I'm John. You see, what we often have to be willing to see about ourselves or ask ourselves, am I more caught up in what I do than who I am? Am I more caught up in this title and this position than I am a child of God? I am the son, I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of God. Am I more caught up in my gifts being on display so everybody can know how important I am? And see, what Paul is doing right here is he's trying to level the playing field. Listen, I need all y'all to know, with all these gifts that are in operation, and one wants this gift and one wants this gift, you need to know it's all the Holy Ghost. It's all the Holy Spirit doing it, and he gives gifts as he wills. So don't be getting offended. So I found myself walking through that season, and it didn't feel good, but it was right. Didn't feel good, but it was right. Because here's the thing. In academia, higher levels of education, you take these courses and then you come to that level, then you take these courses that move you to this level, and you take these courses that move you to this level. That's the system of academia, that's the system of education, higher learning, that's the systems of the world. In the kingdom, it doesn't work that way. And I remember I was at I was teaching at a school, a very prominent school of the supernatural, very well-established, well-respected ministry. And I was asked to come and teach on worship. And the young lady wanted to interview me, so she was interviewing me. And in the interview process, she said to me, she said, you know, I was reading over your bio, and I see that you've served in all these areas, and you've kind of worked your way up the ladder now to apostle. And when she said that, I said, well, ma'am, I appreciate you saying that, but I need to tell you, I don't see it that way. I don't see it as a hierarchy. I don't see it as one level to the next level to the next level. That's the problem that we have right now in the church. Because then, you know, you either go to pastor to apostle, pastor to bishop, and then there's the archbishop, and then there's the archbishop. So I said to her, I said, no, I don't see it that way. I said, I have the privilege of serving in these various areas. I said, but what I understand about the apostle and the prophet, they are the foundation. That means they at the bottom. Foundations you build on or you walk on. And I remember on one occasion when I worked for this publishing company, and they said that one of their statements was they're the platform for the prophets and for the prophets to speak. That's the term they used. They were the platform in their publishing of their books and their materials. And one day I was having this conversation with the owner of the company, and he was expressing that he was upset that some certain authors would start with him and then they would move on to another publisher. And I said, but you said you a platform. I said, what I know about a platform is you build the platform, you build the stage for the people to stand on it. That's all it is. When they're gone, there's no need for the platform. And I was just trying to use his analogy to say, sometimes we're saying one thing, but we really mean something else with it. Paul, writing here, is saying, don't allow yourself to become envious of gifts that you see others are operating in. You need to fast, you need to pray, you need to seek God for the gifts that he wants to flow through you. Now, one of the things we've done for years through MAP, Making Apostolic People, we're not talking about denomination or doctrine, we're talking about function, is to help people recognize what that gift is that the Holy Spirit has given them and add what we can for the further development of that gift so that they can really move forward in fulfilling what God has called them to do. So when Paul is writing here and he's saying all these things are operating from the same Spirit, every believer, hear me now, every believer is Spirit-filled. Not all believers, though, speak in tongues. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And we have to understand that because Paul addresses that later in another, and we'll get to that. But it's important because, you see, if you get stuck on the gifts, you can miss out on the greatest gift. And how many know what the greatest gift is? What's the greatest gift?
Love.
It's love. The greatest gift is love. And later on, Paul writes and says, look, out of all these things, going to chapter 13, which we'll get to that, he said, listen, you can do all these things, but if it ain't with love, you just make a noise. And so we have to be very, very aware, and we have to be open to saying, God, help me to mature quickly. Because can I tell y'all something? It bothers me that we still talking over the dumb stuff.
Yes.
Now, the reason why I say dumb stuff, because it's like it's stuff you should have got.
Yes. Come on, Apostle.
A long time ago. But you've been saved 20 years, and we're still talking about some of this stuff. And people are dying and going to hell because we're still talking about this stuff and getting offended with one another. People are on their way to hell. That's the truth. There are believers all over the world that are standing in faith and seeing God do incredible things. But then there's some in the body of Christ that are still just talking about the elementary things. Do we drink wine or we don't drink wine? Now, if you got an issue with drinking wine, you don't drink it. But there's nothing in the scriptures that tell you don't do it.
That's right.
It says do it with moderation. Now, I don't drink wine. That's not a taste that I've... It's an acquired taste. You know, alcohol just doesn't work for me. I almost made a joke, but I stopped. they just passed a law, and I was going to say, but that law... No. Hold on, y'all. Yeah. See, I told you some stuff you don't want to say. Can you understand what I'm saying to you, how so many people would be further along and less or not offended if we were really walking this out the way that God intended? But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, says, though they are many, are one body also in Christ. For by one Spirit we were baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greek, whether slaves or free. And we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not the hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less of less a part of, I'm sorry, it is not for this reason, is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any less the part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If they were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. How do we live free from offense? It starts with making the commitment to truly walk in covenant relationship with one another. Because Jesus said offenses will come, but it's not something you can't work through and you can't walk through as long as you're committed to it. Commit to the honoring of one another and the gifts and callings, not allowing ourselves to become envious of anything that we see in another. Because each has been given grace according to the measure of Christ, meaning what God has purposed to do in your life, in you, and through you. And lastly, Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says this. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. I love that. Let me read that again, because that's a good way to just stop right there. Yeah. Deborah, I want, I'm sorry, Anita, Closer. The song Closer. Can you put that on? Out of these times, and on Wednesdays, we've taken time where we've had a moment to try to reflect and even interact with one another. Jamal's going to come up shortly. He'll lead us in our worship and giving and close us out. But I want to end out this time like we do on Wednesdays. And that's to give you a few moments to say, Holy Spirit, help me to get this. Show me anything, anyone that I have offended or I'm holding offense with. Again, Philippians 2, verses 1 and 2. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Now that was me talking. That wasn't Paul, that was me. Let's agree with each other. Love each other. And let's be deep-spirited friends.